use this because my voice is about gone. I don't have COVID, okay? Right. I've got another sinus infection, which I get them all the time, and I've just learned to fight them off. And by the way, one of the great ways to do it, people say, well, I'm glad it's cold, because, you know, and in the fall, people say this all the time. Boy, wait, can't wait till that cold air comes, that'll kill all the germs. Now they're not so happy to hear all that cold air stuff. And by the way, it doesn't kill all those germs unless you go out and breathe that cold air. Because huh? Those germs are living inside of you. And that's good for you. So I tried a treatment of that the other day. Tried it again this morning. But they're still fighting it off, but doesn't get as bad as it used to. But Romans chapter number 1. We've been looking at the book of Romans. And I encourage you, if you've not been one that's been following along in our podcast. 3 years ago, I didn't know what a podcast was. Now I'm doing one. But we're going through just a verse by verse. I prefer to say word by word because we've got a Bible that's inspired word by word, not just thought by thought. And we're going through the book of Romans. We're in Romans chapter number 1 in our podcast, and I'm preaching this morning and tonight. We discussed it in Sunday school, and I encourage you to follow along and study the Bible. Don't just show up for church. Don't just kind of casually read the Bible, but study the Bible. Rightly divide the word of truth. Compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Romans chapter number 1. And by the way, the book of Romans is a treatise on the gospel. It's a full description of the gospel. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Rome before he ever went there. Just a little background if you're not familiar with the book of Romans. And Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And Rome was the capital of the Gentile world in Paul's day. And he longed to go to Rome. Be careful what you wish for. Because he did get to go to Rome, not the way he planned on going. He went there as a prisoner. He eventually lost his life in Rome, where he was executed for preaching the gospel. And he desired to get the gospel to the entire world. And the place to start is the very center, the very heart of the known world, and that was the city of Rome. And that's why he spent so much time explaining, defining the gospel to the church in Rome. And I think what Don mentioned is exactly right. We're not to mention a specific church in Rome, but there are probably a number of churches in Rome. The book of Ephesians is similar to that. It's written to the Christians in Ephesus because there was more than one church in Ephesus. Most of Paul's letters are addressed to individual churches, and this one is addressed to the saints in Rome. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 18. I'm going to read the last section of this chapter. And as you follow along in Romans chapter 18, if you're able to stand with me, stand as we read the Word of God, respect to the Word of God, Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse number 18 and down to the end of the chapter. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's an amazing statement right there. I'm going to have to come back to that eventually. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image like unto a corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I want to talk to you this morning about God's wrath revealed to us. God's wrath revealed in verse number 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Father, we pray that you would bless your word this morning, and God, give us clarity of thought. And I pray that you would not only guide my words, what I speak, but guide what we hear today, that we would hear what thus saith the Lord, and not be distracted with so many things the devil will throw at us in our thought life or things that might come up. I pray that you would just help us to focus on your word and to hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You have a seat if you will. God's wrath revealed, or we could say where this road of self is going to lead. You know, folks talk about all different gods that they're concerned that people are worshiping this god and that god. And our friend Zerk that we're going to talk about tonight in Egypt, they had more gods than you could ever number. And the oldest member, oldest male of every family would one day become a god if they were good enough. And all these different gods, but reality, the God of America, you say, well, America is a Christian nation. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. They were a Bible-believing nation at one time. I'm not sure if we could label it depending on how you define Christianity, but I do know this, that the God that we worship today is very evident, the God of self. It's all about me. I'm number one. It's all about what I think, what I feel, what I believe, my self-esteem, my valuing myself above others. When God says we ought to esteem Him first, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And we ought to esteem others above ourselves. That's God's principles, but today it's all about us. Even in the Christian world today, where does this road of self lead us to? Well, God defines it here in Romans chapter number 1. This is where we're going. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 7, enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Jesus said the gate's wide, the road's wide where most people are going. That's the road that leads to destruction. That's what Paul is telling us about. And the good news of the gospel starts with the bad. If there's no bad news, there's no need for good news. That's the saddest thing about Christianity today. We want everything to be so positive, we'd skip over the negative part. If there's no negative, there's no need for anything positive. And if there's nothing negative, then I'm okay by myself, and it's all about me. And we never, you know, before you can get people saved, you got to get them lost. Before I could, I went the first 19 years of my life. Yeah, sure, I'm a Christian. I've always believed in all this stuff. But I tell you what, the second I understood what it was to be lost, I fell on my face before God and cried out for mercy. Until then, if you'd ask me if I'm growing, yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I'm a sinner. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I've been born again. Yeah, whatever. Didn't mean anything. But as soon as I saw my lost condition, and that's where the gospel starts, our lost condition. This is where that condition will lead us if we keep following that road. Now, I'm going to kind of look at these verses backwards today because I want to start with the final destination, the final place we're going to get to, our final destination. We're going to start there, and then we're going to back up and see where the first step was to go that direction. Our final destination, if you look at verse number 24, again, it says, "Wherefore God also gave them up." Three times in our text here, he's going to make that statement. God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I love spending time outdoors to see God's creation. I don't care to worship God's creation. I want to worship God. And everything I see is created by God, and it shows His handiwork. It shows His power. But some people never see beyond the creation, and they begin to worship that creation. The same thing's true with our body. Some people worship their body. Well, I've got bad news if you're worshiping my body, but there's not much there to. We worship the Creator, not the creation. For this cause, God gave them up to vile, nasty, vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use to that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lusts one to another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, unthinkable, and receiving to themselves that recompense with the error that was meet. This is the direction they're going. And of course, very obvious, he's talking about what God refers to as the sin of sodomy. But today that's acceptable, and I'll get in trouble for even saying that it is a sin, but I don't use the term gay to refer to people that are sodomites. That gets me in trouble sometimes, but that's all right. I'd rather be on God's side than man's side. Hello? In verse number 28, we get a whole list. Now, I did give a very brief, I'm not even going to go through the definition of all these words, but there were each one of them worth studying. Even though they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's beyond redemption is what reprobate means. If we go far enough down that road, we'll never come back. There's no returning once we get to the end of that road. To those things which are not convenient, being filled. That means they've come to the end. They've not only indulged in this, but they've come to the very end. They're filled with it. This is all they can take. That's it. There's no going back. Being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. Now, some of these you'll know what they mean. Some of them you might need to look them up and define them. And I'm not going to do that right now, although I have my definitions in front of me that I studied each one out this week. Covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. Whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Implacable means unforgiving, without natural affection. That a mother could murder that baby inside of her womb, that's not natural. That a man could abuse a woman or a child. That's not natural. That's not normal. That someone could willingly take a life and murder somebody. That's not normal. That's not natural. You say they plead insanity. I have no question. They are insane. You're outside the realm of naturalness to do some of the things that are considered natural. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We boast on them. We brag on them. We make movies out of it and call it entertainment. Look at this. This is great. We glorify those. This is the final destination. And I say this, that this is speaking more of the final destiny, the total depravity of man, than it is the current state of man. Nobody is in that city. If they're living today, they've not yet been full of these things. Now, these things might be in their life, but they're not full. The fact that they're full means that that's their final destination. That's as far as you can go. All that's left now is to fall into the pit of hell. But I want you to see something. When we talk about the soul of man and the depravity of man, go back, if you will, to Genesis chapter number 6. I want to show a couple of verses of Scripture that we sometimes quote and misquote and really don't understand the significance of them. Genesis chapter number 6, if you remember Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9, talk about the flood of Noah's day. In Genesis chapter number 6, I want you to see something here. And sometimes I hear people say, well, it's almost getting as bad as it was in Noah's day. I tell you, it's been that bad since Noah's day. It hasn't gotten any better and hadn't gotten any worse. Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 6. I'm going to back up. I want to end at starting verse number 5. I've got to turn a page back. I'm not back far enough. Genesis chapter number 6, beginning in verse 9. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And every imagination of the thoughts of the heart were only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. I'm broken. Verse number 8, there's a Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And sometimes I hear people say, well, boy, it must have been really bad in Noah's day because everything about man was evil. If you could see inside of this heart right now, that's all you would see is evil. If I could see inside of your heart, all you'd see was evil. We're no different than those in Noah. The difference was Noah found what? Grace. And there it is right there. In me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. You see, if all of us could follow that evil in our heart to its final destination, we would be the ones that we're describing in Romans chapter number 1. All those words, they're a part of us right now. That's called our flesh. Turn, if you will, to Jeremiah. And again, we recognize one verse in Jeremiah 17. I'm going to look at a few verses here. Jeremiah chapter 17. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. It's pretty easy to find. It's a big book. It's easy to find. Jeremiah chapter number 17. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, says in verse number 7. Whose hope is in the Lord. Your hope in the Lord today? Isn't it a blessing to know Him and walk with Him? Blessed is that man that trusteth in the Lord. His hope is in the Lord. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spread out her roots by the river. It sounds like Psalm chapter number 1. When you meditate on the Word of God. And shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful and the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. But the heart is what? Deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, my heart's no different than the heart of man before God destroyed the world with the flood. My heart's deceitful above, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. More deceitful than the devil himself. My heart deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And by the way, verse number 10, I love this verse. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. The reins are our works, our strength. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. The Lord knows my heart. I don't know how evil my heart is. If my heart could be followed to the end, it's going to go exactly those verses that we just read in Romans chapter number 1. That's the fullness of following. That's the end of this road. God's wrath is being revealed in Romans chapter number 1. Let me say this. there's always people farther down the road than I am. And by the way, it doesn't matter if I'm a Christian or a believer or unbeliever. My heart's still deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's why I need to search the Scripture daily. Because God's Word shows me what's in my heart. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of my heart. I don't know what's in there, but God does. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." And the whole psalm is talking about how God sees everything about, knows everything about us. And then he's saying, "God, show me what's in my heart, because I don't know what's there." And God's showing us in Romans the end of that road, our final destruction. You say, well, I'm not as bad as, you know, sometimes we tend to do that, don't we? Well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Well, I don't look so bad. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 says we dare not make ourselves the number and compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. They measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Well, it's easy to be unwise in this world. Well, I'm certainly not as bad. Brother Todd, you're just an easy person to pick on. You're just right up here where I'm looking at. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I won't even say your name, all right? I'm not as bad as Cindy. It's good to have you. I'm not as bad as Cindy, right? But I don't know. I might be worse than her. I don't know. It's easy to compare ourselves and to think that we're more spiritual, but the truth is we're all heading down that road. That's what's in our heart. That's our final destination. Sometimes, and again, you know, I think I'm talking to folks that are believers here today, that are born again, that are saved, but we still have that sin nature. And that sin nature will take me to that same place as far as destruction of the flesh. I can't lose my salvation. Thank God I'm saved for all eternity. We talk about that later in the book of Romans. But he's here defining God's wrath. This is God's wrath. Why is God's wrath revealed to us? Because of the sin in our heart. Sometimes we go back a little bit in our text. I'm going to back up a little bit and we're going to backtrack a little bit to verse number 18 through 20. The halfway point, I'm going to call this. The wrath of God is revealed in verse number 18 against all ungodliness and unrighteousness who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's a statement there. It means to suppress the truth. We know the truth, but we're holding it from others. We talked about the gospel this morning in Sunday school. If I'm saved, it's my responsibility to share that gospel with others. If I have the truth in here and I'm not sharing it with others, I'm suppressing that truth. I'm under the judgment of God. I thought, well, I'm a pretty good Joe, I thought. No, I'm a sinner. But I've gone that halfway through and when you think of what we're looking at here is the, and I'll just mention this a little bit, I delve a little, and I could get sidetracked here and spend a couple of days here if I wanted to, but there's a matter of evolution versus creation. You know, I'm all for teaching students what evolution's all about. I'm all for it. Teach them all the evolution, but teach them the science of creationism also, alongside. If you are given a fair representation of both of them, I can guarantee you, you're going to realize there is a God in heaven. Only a fool would say that there's no God. Looking at God, you'd have to be completely void of common sense and reason to think that all this just happened by chance. And that's why the devil doesn't want a legitimate teaching of creation science in the public sector. Because he knows that if you see both sides and a fair representation of both sides, every single time you're going to come out as believing there is a God in heaven. And I won't go any farther than that, but I could go into that for a long time. And I love reading and listening to evolution stuff because it's so obviously flawed. Anybody who's ever looked at it just casually could see the foolishness of it. But they have the truth, but they're suppressing. We don't want people to see this truth. The same thing's going on in the news media today. They want you to know half the story. It doesn't matter if you're conservative or liberal. They're only telling you half the story. And you'll probably never know the whole story. You'll follow whichever side you choose to follow, and somebody's suppressing the truth. The way statistics are used today is it's criminal. The way statistics are used in everything, in every realm, not just with the COVID stuff, but how things are sensationalized and twisted, and people have their agenda, and you can make statistics say anything you want them to say, depending on how you twist and tweak them. But folks are suppressing the truth. They have an agenda. Because when they that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it. Every person that's born into this world has an understanding that there is a God that created me. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the millions of religions, because everybody was born with that knowledge that there is a God. Common sense tells me that there is a creator somewhere. Now, who we choose to be our creator is up to us or what we've been taught. But that man has that understanding, and you've got to wash that out of. We call it brainwashing if the shoe was on the other foot. But we've got to convince them that there is no God before we can convince them of the religion of evolution. But I'm sorry, I'm trying not to cough in the microphone, and then I make feedback there. But we've gone beyond the halfway point is what I want to get at here. I'm getting sidetracked. I don't want to. As they have known God, they manifest now that God hath showed them unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, for they are without excuse. I'm without excuse. I've gone. You ever go on a trip and say you're going to a destination 100 miles down the road? And maybe it happened this week, probably Rex and Cindy traveling in the bad weather. And you get halfway there and the weather's so bad, you're thinking, okay, now is it best if I keep going or go back? You've been there? You were there this week probably, huh? I'm not sure if I should just keep going. I was that way this week driving a school bus. I went down this road, you get up over the hill and, oh boy, there's supposed to be a road there somewhere. I see a fence on this side, a fence on this side. I'm going to take, it must be right about in the middle there. We'll just put the hammer down and go as fast as we can and hope we make it through. I'm thinking, there's no backing up now. We've gone far enough. If I slow down, we're going to be stuck, so we'll just keep going. You get to the halfway point and think, oh boy, it's going to be more trouble to go back than it is to just keep going forward. And you get to that point in life where you're not sure if you'd be better off to back up and start this over again. Or to keep going. God's wrath is revealed to us. We see sometimes in life the direction we're going, we think, how can we get back now? That's where God's grace comes in, by the way. You don't have to go all the way down the road. Now, you don't have to travel the whole road to know you're heading the wrong direction. I like somebody said, God always allows you to make U-turns. You know, I turn around. With God's grace, you can turn around. I want you to turn to your Bible, if you will, and you say, well, this is the direction our world's going. It's 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And this is a chapter that is well worth memorizing, meditating on. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. By the way, we're not in the perilous times yet. They may seem perilous now. But there's a whole lot worse coming down the road. We're only about halfway there. Perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, without God, I've lost my place here. I'm trying to quote it. Men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of... By the way, this is a very similar list to what we see in Romans chapter number 1. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which crept into houses and led captives, silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, because they're going the wrong direction. They're never going to find the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so are these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest to all men as theirs was. Sooner they're going to get to the end of the road soon. And everybody's going to know who they are. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life and purpose and faith and long-suffering and charity and patience, persecutions and afflictions. Now Paul's giving personal testimony. You follow his life and you see these things were real in his life. The persecutions and afflictions which came to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, and persecutions I endured out of them all. The Lord delivered me. Look at verse number 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, as far as this world's concerned. But it shall be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen? But look at verse 13. We'll just stop. I want to read the whole chapter. Verse 13. Evil men and seducers. They're suppressing the truth. They're seducing. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They're just going to continue taking people down that road. We saw where that road ends. The total destruction, the total vileness, God giving them up, God turning His back on them. That's the end of that road. We come to the place where we can still turn back through the grace of God. Noah still found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Though all the world around him was going the wrong direction, Noah found grace. You can still find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now I want to go back and look at Romans chapter number 1. And just for a few moments, and this kind of ties all the... What's the first step down that journey? Sure, I have a sin nature. Where did I make that first step, that first wrong turn to go down the broad path instead of the narrow way that God wants for me? As a Christian or as an unbeliever, where did I first go wrong? Look at verse number 21 in Romans 1. But that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. When I knew God, when I heard the truth, I could have turned to Him. But I refused. Oh, I used to go that way, but then I decided one day I'm going to go this way. And I knew better, but I still chose the wrong way. The first step on that journey. I want to say this, not everybody headed down that road of destruction is in the same place. There are many people that are long down that road and they've neglected God, they refuse God, they deny God, but they're still good people. You've got family members, you've got loved ones, you've got neighbors that are good people, but they don't believe there's a God. They're headed long down that road for destruction. They've not gotten to the end yet. They might not even be at a halfway point. But they're going down that road. It's just a matter of time before they get there. And to make a blanket statement is one of the biggest crimes. And again, I try not to refer to the junk that's in the so-called news today. Folks are all upset because of the Trump supporters breaking into the White House and tearing up the city of Washington, D.C. Well, that's what those Republicans do. It seems like it wasn't that long ago that Republicans were saying, as folks were tearing up towns, all those cities all over this country. Well, that's what the Democrats do. But it's everybody else all the time. You ever notice that? That's what they're doing. That's, well, I wouldn't do that. We're all in the same boat. We're all guilty. But to put everybody in that same category and say, well, everybody that believes in evolution is a sodomite, that's making a big leap, isn't it? And say that everybody that supports Trump was tearing down the Capitol building, that's a big assumption. Or say because everybody's got a certain color of skin, they're that way. We call that prejudging, prejudice. We put people in categories, but God says, you know, there's some folks that are going the wrong direction, but that they, on the surface, they might seem like a good person. They're just not down that road far enough, but they will get to the end of that road. Let me give you an example. Many years ago, there's a man that grew up in this town. In fact, right out by Brother Todd and Amy's house, we've got some property out there, that was a preacher's boy. And his daddy pastored a church over there about the time that our church was started. We're talking about the mid-1800s. His dad was the pastor of it's now called the Lee Center Congregational Church. He was, I think, the third pastor of that church, and that church used to be right there, where you guys live. And this little boy was living there with his dad. He was a teenager and worked as probably a stable boy and did some chores around the motel. He had his first job there. He lived there for about 3 years with his dad as his dad pastored a congregational church. His dad's name was John Ingersoll. The little boy's name was Robert Ingersoll. He later was known around the world as the great agnostic. The one that went around the country, a very eloquent speaker, and convinced many people that there is no God. Convinced many people that the teachings of evolution were science instead of religion. He traveled all over the world to convince people. And he was a preacher's son. And he was asked a number of times, why did you turn away from Christianity? Because of the way people treated my dad in the ministry. Now, his dad wasn't completely innocent in some of the things that he promoted and pushed. But here's a man that decided that I'm going to go a different direction. And by the way, Robert Ingersoll was a very moral person. He was grateful for his traditional Christian upbringing because he had morality. He wanted the morality without God. He was known for being a very good and very kind and very generous person, but he was an atheist. Well, I'm saying that because sometimes we put people into the category, well, you're an atheist, you must be this terrible person. No, he was a very good person, but a very godless person. He was without God. And like many people today, they're just without God. And that first step was when they turned from God. When they, in verse number 21 is where I'm at. They became foolish in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God in the image made in the like corruptible man and birds and beasts and four-footed beasts. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, but decided I can go my own way. I can be my own God. I can do my own thing. That was the first step. And how many Christians do you know, and we've all been guilty of it, well, I just think this. Well, I just feel this. I'm just trusting in my heart. Or if we get real spiritual, we say, well, I'm just trusting in my heart of hearts. I didn't know I had a heart inside my heart. Is there a heart inside of that one too? I really believe. Does that make it right? What does God say? But when we realize that we decide what's right and wrong, that's the first step down that path. When we as a Christian decide, well, this is the way I want to go, this is what I want to do, this is what I think, And after all, I'm always right. Right? Every man did that which is right in their own eyes. That's the day we live in today. But we just need a reminder today at that first step. Turn, if you will, we'll close here in the book of, we started here in 2 Timothy chapter number, or 2 Peter, I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter number 3. What a great chapter this is. Peter's reminding us, a key word in the book of 2 Peter is remind. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. I just want to remind you of some things. Just want to remind you where this world is going to end. Just want to remind you that you can't make it on your own. You're going the wrong direction. You need to go the direction that God wants you to. In 2 Peter chapter number 3, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, and both by stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, the commandments of the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. This is what I think. This is the way I feel. And saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, the earth standing in and out of the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall melt, shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation or conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening unto that coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, we've got something to look forward to, don't we? Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye are looking for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in Him in peace, without spot, blameless. In account of the long-suffering of our Lord of salvation, even as our brother, beloved Paul, brother Paul, also according to wisdom given to him by written unto you. He's talking about Paul's gospel writing, the book of Romans. And also in all of his epistles, all of his letters, speaking unto them in these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do in other scriptures with their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfast, but grow in grace. Noah found grace. When you get saved, you find grace, and we ought to be growing in that grace. In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Him be glory and honor. The first step in going the wrong direction is turning away from the grace of God. Rejecting Jesus Christ for salvation, or as a Christian, being unthankful for Him. Rejecting His will, rejecting His plan, finding our own way is the first step headed down that path where God's wrath will be revealed. What a blessing it is to walk with Him, to know Him as our Savior, and every day to follow Him, to trust Him, to believe Him, to walk in His grace, to find the same grace that Noah did. Noah found grace that God provided a way of salvation. And Noah found grace to do what man could not do on his own. That's the grace of God we need. God wants us to stand alone for Him in His grace. But it starts by knowing Him as our Savior. Knowing for sure we're saved and on our way to heaven. Knowing our lost condition. And knowing without Him, we can never get off this path to destruction. I'm going to ask you to stand.